knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean,
how are you?
Bill.
How are you, Dean Richards? Everything good?
Sounds a little hoarse today.
Wendy is a little hoarse.
Well, you know, it's all those years of cigarettes.
Harry Tynowitz, of course, filling in.
I want to be a woman.
That's right.
It is International Women's Day.
Yes, so happy International Women's Day. Yeah. Harry has a question for you, Dean.
Dean, you've met so many significant women that have made contributions to the entertainment world and other aspects of society. If you could be any woman for one day, what woman would you be?
I heard you ask that before the break, so I've been thinking about it, and it's hard to pick one, because I heard you say Michelle Obama. That came to my mind immediately, so I'm between her. I'm going to throw Oprah into the mix.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I would not have thought of that. Interesting.
And Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
She
was on the field, 8888.
Yeah.
She gave Rhino a big wet one.
Oh, wow. Like, I don't know.
Good good
like
calls, all of
them. I don't think about it often.
You were the brains behind that whole Morgana thing.
Yeah. Dean, we've had almost a week now to digest the 90th Academy Awards. What will you go away with thinking about this year's presentation? I know I heard you say it was an enjoyable evening, and it was.
Yeah.
But now that a couple of days have passed, when you think about it, what comes to mind?
I still think it was a very pleasant event.
Yeah.
I was very entertained by Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
As always, you hear mixed reviews from whoever hosts it every single year. But I was very pleased with Jimmy Kimmel. I thought it was fine. I didn't think the show was a big drag. What I'd take away from it is how polarizing it is for some people. That really surprised me. And I think that this award shows in general now have become these extremely polarizing events, politically polarizing events, because the president doesn't like them. You know, certain people don't like the Hollywood types that you know, talk about politics, which really, I thought there was really relatively few,
very few
political statements that were made during the show. It was mostly about, you know, empowerment of women, of equal rights, of treating people fairly. Who would be against that?
Yeah.
Who, I mean, no matter what political side you're on, whether you're conservative or a liberal, who is against equal rights for everyone, of treating people fairly? That just seems like basic human rights for me. And that was, you know, if you're going to say politics, that really that's what, you know, most of the quote politics on the show was. I don't have one bit of problem with that. I don't have one bit of problem with celebrities talking about those things. They are Americans too. They have the right of free speech as well, and they happen to have this public forum because they're famous. You know, whether you like it or not, famous people have a forum to you know, to talk about things. Nobody says you have to agree with them. I guess that's the biggest thing that I take out of this whole thing.
Dean, like a 4th of July fireworks show, the Oscars always save the best for last. You start out with either the best supporting actor or best supporting actress. Then you have a bunch of awards. I don't mean to demean anybody, but they have that lunch or that dinner a week earlier where they give out some of the awards to people that aren't so popular. Is there a way to make the show more entertaining by either limiting the awards we see or bringing some of those awards that they give out at the end earlier into the telecast?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think they want to give away the big awards too early in the show, because then, I mean, they want to they want to keep people watching. I think that they can get rid of a lot of the fluff that's in the show, and I don't think there was that much fluff in the show this year at all. The you know, awards for cinematography, for screenwriting, for, you know, some of the lesser awards, I guess you might call them, that doesn't bother me. That takes, like, what, 3-4 minutes per award? That's not that big of a deal to me. And the Oscars, they don't give away some awards at the luncheons that take place.
There's a technical awards dinner, right?
I don't think for the Oscars there.
Oh, there isn't?
There
I thought they did.
They do for the Grammys do that,
mm-hmm.
and I think the Emmys do that. But the awards that you see for the Academy Awards are
that's it.
Are the actual awards.
There's 24 categories. I counted the other night. There's 24 categories. So that in and of itself, just to say who's nominated and show a clip or two, that's going to eat up a lot of time. And I heard so many people say, oh, Jimmy Kimmel came out at the beginning and he said to people, hey, watch it on the time. We don't want it to go long. And then he did his comedy bits. But if you don't do those, then people go, oh, it's just people getting awards and I don't know who
it's
those people
boring.
Are.
It's kind of boring. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If I was going to change anything, you know, I would. And they do this already, but nobody pays attention. They ask people to, you know, to speak from the heart for their acceptance speeches instead of reading long lists of names that the people out of the industry have no idea what you're talking about. If you're going to give a speech like that, just come up and say thank you and leave.
Right.
There's no need to, you know, stay up there the whole time. You know, the speeches should come from the heart. I loved the montages this year, especially. They did lots of montages saluting, you know, classic cinema.
Yeah.
I thought those were especially beautiful this year.
And Dean, I'm sure you noticed this. But they always there's a line in those. There's a string. They follow some sort of a storyline almost. You know, when one character from a 1947 movie says something, a character from a 1983 movie answers what he just said. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I think that's enjoyable.
It's very craftfully done.
Yeah.
That's incredibly difficult to you know, put that kind of continuity to montages like that. And then have the whole thing make sense as a whole of a lovely tribute toward someone. So, you know, I don't want to be an apologist for the show. I mean, the ratings were down 20%.
It's considerable.
That says something. But, I've got excuses, a bag full of excuses, you know, for things. You know, part of it is that some people, you know, the people who are, you know, feel like that Hollywood is so liberal and that Hollywood, they don't want to hear political speeches. They just don't watch. And, you know, that's fine. That's everyone's prerogative to watch or not watch. But I think there are a couple of things. When you are comparing 26.5 million people watching a single television event,
it's big.
Is nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
And that does not include the 225 other countries where the Academy Awards are viewed. That's not included in the 26.5. So it's still an enormously huge audience.
Yeah.
You compare it to years past, the ratings have been down, just like television ratings in general have been down. Because there are so many other viewing options on online platforms right now. People are watching and getting the results of the Oscars without actually watching the show.
Right.
Because they're being, you know, the results are being tweeted out. So they're finding out what's happening without actually watching the show anymore. You don't really have to do that. It's the same thing with the Super Bowl. It's the same thing with Grammys, Golden Globes, all the award shows,
your big events,
all the big television events, the Olympics. Ratings are down for everything right now because
other options.
People are watching in different ways other than turning on their television sets in the past. So, you know, that's different. Wouldn't be such a bad idea if there were more motion pictures that were what you might call mainstream motion pictures instead of art pictures,
right?
Where a woman falls in love with a sea creature when you've got Wonder Woman.
Right.
That was one of the most phenomenal movies of the year that got virtually no Academy Award attention.
Dean, I got to take a break. All true. Everything you said is true. Every syllable you just said is true. Dean Richards has some movies to tell you about that are coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's sitting in for Wendy. And our guest is our friend Dean Richards, entertainment reporter for WGN-TV. Dean, we don't have a whole lot of time, but let's get through a couple of these movies that are opening this weekend. A Wrinkle in Time is the biggest of them. You didn't like it, did you?
I was not crazy about A Wrinkle in Time, I'm afraid. I had such high hopes for this because it's directed by Ava DuVernay, who directed Selma. I think she's an incredibly talented and very creative director. It stars Oprah Winfrey. Sadly, they could not get Morgana the Kissing Bandit as part of this cast. I know they tried very, very hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Witherspoon's in the movie, Mindy Kaling, Zach Galifianakis. And it's a fantastic, I guess, what you might call sort of a magical fantasy of a story of a little girl whose father goes missing. And suddenly these three celestial beings appear in their backyard, Oprah, Reese Witherspoon, and Mindy Kaling, to help her search the universe for her lost parents. So off they go on this fantastic adventure. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Wizard of Oz in the beginning, as, you know, a young girl is going off on this search. Not nearly as compelling, not nearly as entertaining as Wizard of Oz. But the main part of this story, this is based on a very popular and classic novel about a little girl, not only in search of her lost parent, but also in search of her own self-identity and self-love. This movie does deliver that, but in such an awkward fashion. There are enormous holes in the story of things that just don't make sense, how they get from point A to point B, and there's no logic whatsoever for many of those things that happen. And I just got lost in the story. Not lost like I didn't understand it, lost like
hard to follow the storyline.
What's going on? So it's beautiful. It's a very, very, very beautiful. But ultimately, this movie wound up feeling like an Oprah special about New Age spirituality. Wow.
You mentioned Selma. David Oyelowo and Charlize Theron are in Gringo. What can you tell us about Gringo?
Gringo, I'm actually going to see tonight. I have not seen that one yet. Tomorrow I'll have some more details on that. The Oprah movie, Wrinkle in Time, by the way, I gave Dean's List C+.
Yeah, right.
But we do have also for a little choice this weekend, a horror movie called The Strangers Prey at Night, P-R-E-Y, at night. You know, like they're trying to, you know, be
double entendre.
Hunted down. Get it? This is maybe one of the most predictable and boring horror movies that I've ever seen. This family stops at a mobile home park to visit some relatives. They find the whole place deserted and do every stupid thing that you wouldn't do if you were in a deserted mobile home park and you're finding bloody bodies all over the place.
Do they split up at some point? Dean, tell me they split up at some point.
They do split up.
Oh, that's a good
move. They do split up. And when something's going on, instead of going, let's get the hell out of here, they go, wait a minute, I'm going to go into that room. It's like every stupid
that's
decision
what you would
that
do?
Can be made. Right.
What's your Dean's List on Prey at Night?
Dean's List D on this one. It's awful.
Awful.
Thank goodness it's only an hour and 25 minutes. Helen Mirren and Donald Sutherland have kind of a charming movie called The Leisure Seeker. They're a longtime married couple who chuck everything, go on a road trip. Movie's a little bit predictable, but it's so wonderful to see these two expert actors at work, and they bring the C+ that I gave The Leisure Seeker.
Well, Dean, thank you for everything you do, not just today, but every day.
In life in general.
Yeah, for life in general. And things you'll do for us in the future, I want to thank you.
I'm especially proud. I made an exceptionally good turkey sandwich.
Oh, you did?
This morning.
Excellent.
Mayonnaise or Miracle Whip?
Mayonnaise. Yeah, always.
Dean's
always
List on the sandwich?
I'm Dean's List A on the...
Dean's List A on the sandwich.
Here's my secret.
Yeah?
You get the bread and butter pickles that they sell already sliced.
Sure.
And I put those in the sandwich for a nice little crunch.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Very delicious.
That's the way to play it.
That's a nice
Dean, thank you.
Man's a genius.
I'm not done with the recipe. Bill's giving me the bums.
We have that.
Then.
You don't want to get Steve Bertrand mad. You know that.
I did yesterday.
I know. All right.
I don't
not, not today's
again.
A row.
I don't want to do it again.
Dean, have a great weekend.
See
thanks so much. That's Dean Richards, everybody. We will. Oh, go on, Harry.
Bill, I met a guy a couple months ago who just loves you. And my friend Steve Vinci, his in-laws listen. Len and Dorothy show are listening to Bill and Wendy's show every day.
Hello, guys.
So
thank you for listening.
Len and Dorothy. Bill just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, I do. We all do. All right.
And Steve wanted to say you're cutting into his time.
We will talk to Steve next. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.